was an historic weekend when Colm Eastwood became the first SDLP leader to attend the Ulster Unionist Party conference. The two opposition parties have been talking about working more closely together to provide an alternative to the DUP and Sinn Féin executive. Here's Mr. Eastwood addressing the UUP faithful at the weekend.
Let me state the obvious. We are different parties with different politics, different policies and a different vision of the future. Our Irish nationalism and your unionism will not seamlessly fit any time soon. However, this difference does not diminish our ability to pursue the commonality of our immediate cause. Both the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists share the common ground of wanting to make Northern Ireland work.
Right, Mike Nesbitt, the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, with us this morning. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Obviously, we'll get into what you said at your conference in a second or two. First of all, your reaction to what Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has said in Nolan this morning. Diestit shouldn't be chief exec of Charter NI.
Well, I'm afraid I haven't heard the show much to date, Stephen. But in terms of Charter NI and their chief executive, I think the status quo is untenable. Given the remarks that you have used on your programme on Friday and possibly today with regard to homeland security and all the rest. So I think it falls to that individual and to that organisation to shift the status quo, either by some statement of clarification and retraction with regard to those comments, or perhaps if you're suggesting that Sir Geoffrey feels he should go, they have to make a decision on that. But the status quo, as we sit here this morning, cannot continue.
Do you agree with Sir Geoffrey? Should Diestit not be the chief exec?
I've told you there are two options. Diestit.
Yeah, but what way would you call it?
I'm not calling it. I'm saying the status quo is untenable, so they need to do something.
Okay. You did refer to this matter at your conference. Let's just have a listen to what you said.
If working-class unionist communities had wanted those gatekeepers to represent and lead them, they would have voted for them. The gatekeepers would be sharing the blue benches of the Assembly with us. But they didn't and they're not, although they may have proxies in one of the biggest parties.
What did you mean by that, proxies in one of the biggest parties, Mike?
Well, you know what I mean by that, that there is a suspicion that the Social Investment Fund has been used, perhaps, in ways that it shouldn't have been used in terms of buying people's cooperation. The Social Investment Fund was a very clear commitment from the last executive, which was to spend £80 million tackling poverty, £40 million on physical dereliction, £40 million on deprivation, over a three-year period, at the end of which they had spent less than £3 million. And of course, they'll argue, yes, but we had allocated it, promised it. But actually, on the ground, less than three of the £80 million had been spent as promised. And you've got to ask yourself, why? They said it was going to be a bottom-up approach with people on the ground saying, this is what we need. Surely, people on the ground were saying what they needed, and the money could have been spent in these times of austerity and poverty. And so there is a question about why was there a delay? How was it actually run? And who benefited? And why was it necessary to have effectively closed lines for distributing the money rather than fully open competition?
But this is getting off the point, isn't it, of why you said they may have proxies in the biggest party. That's the DUP you're talking about. What do you mean, proxies in the DUP?
What I mean by that is the relationship between the DUP and some of these organisations too close?
What organisations?
Organisations like the UDA.
Well, the DUP would very much distance themselves from the UDA, wouldn't they?
In their statements, I'm sure they would.
Well, it's quite serious what you're suggesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not putting any evidence on the table. I'm just saying, is this the case? And I'm not the only one asking the question.
Can you explain what you mean? Because you could say that about any party. Any party could ask that about your party. Stephen, are you too close to the UDA? So you need to spell out what you mean.
Here's my position, Stephen. The people who populated these organisations, paramilitary or terrorist, choose your language, on both sides, the people are still around. Now, I want an immediate disbandment rather than over a period of some years, as promised in the Fresh Start Agreement. I would like an immediate disbandment of those groups. But that doesn't mean that the people disappear. Of course they are still around. What I'm saying is, if they are prepared to use their commitment and their energy positively for the benefit of society, then as responsible politicians, I think we have a duty to try to help them. But if they are not, if they wish to exercise unwanted control over their community, if they want to line their back pockets, and if they want to engage in the sort of organized crime that damages our reputation internationally, as responsible politicians, we must act against them. There have to be sanctions. And I believe that is what has been missing over the last 22 years.
Let's move on to other matters in your conference. How do you square all this talk of partnership with the SDLP with a future partnership, a future unionist pact that you may have with the DUP?
Well, you're speculating on the latter. What I'm focused on at the moment are two things, Stephen. One is making Stormont work. And, you know, the opposition has been welcomed by the First Minister, by the head of the civil service and by the Prime Minister. So clearly we've done something right. But to make it work really efficiently, we have to look at how we're operating as a party and also have to look at how we're operating in partnership with the SDLP and with Colm Eastwood. And we have a way to go there, obviously. The second thing I'm focused on is the local government elections. They are the next elections. They're 2.5 years away. And I'm working on that behind the scenes.
Well, you said I'm speculating about a future unionist pact. Why don't you rule out that speculation?
Because you asked me to.
Well, let me ask you a question then, which you can choose how you answer it. Are you ruling out a future pact with the DUP?
I'm not even focused on that, Stephen. So I'm.
Well, focus on it now.
No.
So you're keeping that as an option?
Just because you want me to focus on something.
Well, it's a question.
Wise up, Stephen.
You didn't rule it out in a question to the newsletter either, did you? And you can use this fake aggression if you like.
I will address
it. It's a completely decent question, as you well know.
I will address it whenever it becomes an issue. At the moment, I'm focused on the local government elections and I'm focused on making Stormont work and that the role of the Ulster Unionist Party as party of opposition.
The reason it's important now is for people to gauge the sincerity when you're criticising the DUP. How could you possibly keep an option of running joint candidates with the DUP at an election while you're currently telling people that the DUP is making a mess at the Assembly? So it's an absolutely live issue now.
But you misinterpret or you misunderstand a Westminster election. There is no policy agreement if you have an agreement with another party in terms of a Westminster election. In 2015, when we had that limited understanding with regard to four seats, it was simply about candidates going forward to try and maximise the number of pro-union MPs going to Westminster after May 2015. There was no agreement on any policy whatsoever. You can't do that at the Assembly because that is about policy, and that is the difference.
You see, if there was a unionist pact which you won't rule out, would that include South Belfast, where a joint DUP-UUP candidate would take the seat from the SDLP?
I came on the programme, Stephen. I told you that I was keen to come on and talk to you. Your team asked me to come on and talk about our party conference on Saturday. I said at 9:30, I've got my staff meeting. That's about a dozen people who are waiting for me to come in and start the week. It has gone 9:30. Time is up.
Can the UUP and the SDLP agree positions on the likes of gay marriage or abortion, Irish language? Where are you going to find common ground there, Mike? You're going to try to?
Not on matters of conscience, because the party doesn't take a position on that. And I think you know that very well, Stephen. You're on a fishing trip here. There will be areas where we will not agree. But where we do agree is that we want to make Northern Ireland work, measured in terms of our economy, the education of our children, our health service, and our social housing. Those are areas where we can agree. Now, the SDLP may have a different motivation for trying to make Northern Ireland work, but that is no barrier to working together.
And what do you make of Colm Eastwood? What is the relationship like between the two of you?
I think we've got a very good relationship, but I also have a very good relationship with my staff, although it is now dwindling because I'm now 3 minutes late for my meeting.
Okay, Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much indeed. Sam McBride from the newsletter. My goodness, these politicians are prickly this morning, Sam. And for Mike Nesbitt to even suggest that a question about a possible future unionist pact is off limits, that I'm being a bad boy this morning. Like, what are these people on?
Well, I think Stephen, it's a tricky question for him. It's tricky both with his own party, because if you're in Tom Elliott's position, you're going to be keen, I think, that he doesn't rule out a pact because your seat potentially depends on that. But with the SDLP now in the picture, it's a much more complicated situation than it was last year when the deal with the DUP was agreed.
Alex Kane has just tweeted, if the Ulster Unionist Party are not ruling out an electoral pact with the DUP, then you can kiss goodbye to a shadow executive with Sinn Féin.
With the SDLP, I think.
Yeah, with the SDLP, sorry, yeah.
I think, I mean, it'll be very, I mean, Mike Nesbitt's trying to separate out the Westminster election, say there's no policy involved there, effectively because Northern Ireland's MPs are such a small part of the Westminster scene out of 650 MPs. That's maybe not entirely correct, because if there are tight votes, policy does come into play. But he's projecting, I suppose, the image that policy with the DUP in Westminster terms really isn't that different between the Ulster Unionists and the DUP. That's not necessarily a brilliant message for him, but also, I think, far more significantly, it'd be very difficult to communicate to voters why they should vote DUP in one election to keep nationalists out, effectively, but then in the next election, an assembly election, saying you should not do that, you should do the opposite, and you should actually be voting for the opposition to get rid of the DUP. I think that's a very difficult message to get across to voters.
Well, he simply doesn't want to be asked about it at the moment, does he?
Well, he doesn't, but I think he will be. He already has been, and I think the SDLP, if they see how this is going, will probably be keen to get answers to that, at least privately, if not publicly, because if the Ulster Unionists are going to go down the Unionist Unity route in terms of Westminster elections, I think it makes it very difficult to see how they can have much of a relationship in electoral terms at assembly elections with the SDLP. And I think it would be far better getting that sorted out at this stage and going for one or the other rather than muddling into that later on.
Let's have a listen to what Mike Nesbitt said about post-sectarian politics at his conference.
But it's the same fundamental message, which is ultimately a message that we're still in a sectarian society. And my vision is of us moving to a post-sectarian society where people vote not because of whether you're orange or green, but because of what you have done or are promising to do for the economy, education, health, housing, and the bread and butter issues.
The Alliance Party's Stuart Dixon. Your reaction to this, Stuart?
Morning, Stephen. How are you? I don't know really where we are. Mike Nesbitt seems as usual to be speaking out of both sides of his mouth, you know, different messages at the same time. I mean, I think early in your programme, I didn't hear all of it, but the UUP, I think, accused the DUP of being a proxy for loyalist paramilitary organisations. And yet, they won't enter into a pact with the DUP. That might be an interesting question to put to Colm Eastwood later today.
The SDLP have issued us with a statement this morning, Sam McBride. Interesting this. They say, the SDLP have never engaged in electoral pacts, and we do not think that other parties should either.
Well, I think that is true, and the SDLP came under enormous pressure, I think, in the last two Westminster elections in places like South Belfast to enter a pact with Sinn Féin, and they were very resolute on that issue. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to change, but it doesn't get around the difficulty for them that if there is a pact elsewhere with what are seen to be and what they say are their partners in Stormont, it does create a difficulty for them, I think, in other areas. And I mean, it's just inconceivable to think that, for instance, Jeremy Corbyn, as leader of the opposition at Westminster, would even be considering standing aside in various seats in favour of the government. I mean, it's a very, very difficult message to get across to the public.
Seamus Close?
Pacts will only be applicable in a Westminster-type election. Pacts would be, you know, you don't need pacts. You don't talk about pacts for PR elections. Nobody referred to the Lib Dems, for example, of being in an electoral pact. They formed a coalition. Now, what we're talking about here, what I take from what was spoken about at the Ulster Unionist Conference on Saturday, was the first step along the road to a possible coalition government between the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP. That is the first step. If that first step continues, if it gains traction, and there appears to be a commonality within both parties that they should at least try to move down that road, if it gains traction over the next few years, then I see any possibility of a pact with the DUP for a Westminster election as being totally out of the water. It should not be on the horizon at that stage.